I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
We anticipate that in the coming days and weeks, we will start to see a greater impact of Omicron on hospitalizations and our intensive care unit.
That is the alert, and this is the acknowledgement. The onslaught of Omicron in Ontario leading to lines like these ones all across the province. The demand for that third dose and how far people are willing to go for it. Good evening. Just weeks ago, no one had even heard the term. Now, there is no doubt Omicron is the dominant strain of COVID-19, and we're being told to brace for even higher numbers.
Those leading the response with a message of care just in time for Christmas as we all combat this holiday surge. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live with more. Scott.
Well, Nathan, testing and contact tracing have been two of the basic tools that public health officials have used throughout the pandemic. Now, Ontario's Chief Medical Officer of Health says the strategies behind both are evolving. Testing may be shifting more towards high-risk individuals and those who work in the healthcare field. And as for contact tracing, well, that's going to fall on you. If you test positive for COVID-19, provincial officials are asking you to reach out to your close contacts and let them know.
We are currently tracking to have more cases per day than we have ever had during the entire pandemic.
The Omicron variant is now the dominant strain of COVID-19 in Ontario, says Dr. Kieran Moore, telling Ontarians that early evidence shows it is 4 to 8 times more transmissible than the Delta variant.
This variant moves quickly, and we need to do the same.
The current demand for COVID-19 testing is vastly overwhelming supply in Ontario. People report having to wait days to get a government appointment for a PCR test, and rapid tests are difficult to find. New direction on testing is expected from the province in the coming days.
We have to anticipate that as this virus continues to double every few days, which is what it wants to do, that we may have to put some limitations on the PCR and on the RAT and to be able to use RAT testing for a diagnostic purpose.
One of the issues, isolation guidelines for frontline healthcare workers, which could impact staffing levels and healthcare across the province. Province's Chief Medical Officer of Health says contact tracing efforts are currently being focused on hospitals, long-term care homes, and shelters, and he asked Ontarians who tested positive for COVID-19 to personally inform their close contacts.
If you receive a positive COVID-19 PCR test or an antigen test, please support your local public health unit and your community by considering informing individuals you've been close contact with and asking them to isolate as well.
There is some positive news. According to Dr. Moore, only 15 of the 4,600 confirmed cases of Omicron are in hospital, and none are in the province's intensive care system. Moore thanked Ontarians for remaining patient as the province tries to get a handle on this latest pandemic surge.
I know this is an anxious time. I know many are worried. We'll get through this together. We'll get you the vaccine. It may be not at the exact time you'd like, but we're doing our best at a very difficult time. I personally want to thank every healthcare worker that is spending their holiday time, not with their family, but supporting Ontarians.
Dr. Moore also addressed something on the mind of many parents. What will happen in the new year with return to school? He says he's in constant contact with children health experts, and at this point, they do not believe there is a reason to delay the return to school. However, he stressed that decision will be up to the government and that lots can change in the coming days. Pointing live at Queen's Park, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Public Health Ontario is reporting 3,453 new COVID-19 cases in its most recent update. There are 165 people with COVID-19 in intensive care units. More than 49,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is now sitting at 9.9%.
Comparing some of those numbers from a week ago, again, there are 165 people with COVID-19 in intensive care today. 1 week ago, there were 162, and there are currently 412 people with COVID-19 being treated in Ontario hospitals. On December 14th, that number was 385.
1,332 more cases are considered resolved, raising that total to more than 621,000 over the course of the pandemic. 11 additional deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 10,123 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Snaking around schools and lined up around blocks. The interest is obvious and the wait can be long.
Ontarians waiting for their shot at a booster, but as those crowds keep growing, is supply keeping up? CTV's Mike Walker is live with more. Mike.
Well, Michelle, Nathan, based on the turnout we saw at pop-up clinics today, the demand far greater than the supply. A majority of people looking for that third dose, hoping to get it without having to book an appointment weeks, possibly months from now. Bundled up in layers, they lined up before sunrise, hoping to get their booster dose of the COVID-19 vaccine.
We just had to come in early to get that shot because I don't want to miss work and come in another day.
A familiar scene in the wake of the Omicron variant, and third dose eligibility expanded to all adults. Hundreds waiting hours outside this walk-in clinic hosted by Michael Guerin Hospital at General Brock Public School.
The new variant being very prevalent, we wanted to be as soon as possible in order to protect other people in our lives. And
we have a trip planned in a week, so it'd be great to have the booster.
Karen Judges has an appointment at the end of the month, but couldn't wait.
I'm willing to line up, get my booster, and be done with it for Christmas.
In Mississauga, the lineup started at 5 this morning for a GoBusVax clinic. Those waiting say they haven't been able to book an appointment yet for their third dose.
We need the booster because I went through online, no luck. I put our name on waiting list after waiting list.
But with only 250 doses available, the demand here far greater than the supply.
We are very hopeful. Yeah. Hope is a big word here.
Health experts say these scenes are concerning.
People waiting out in the cold and some people being turned away. I mean, that's just not acceptable. We'd probably be done in a more organized and efficient manner.
You have a lot better circulation of air outside than you do inside. So those are important things. But at any point when you see a large mass gathering in general, especially with Omicron, it is not the best thing in the world. So that's why things like appointment systems are really good.
The City of Toronto adding more than 6,600 new appointments today at its mass immunization clinics over Christmas. Efforts continue to increase capacity and bring more resources on board.
We've been having really good conversations with the province about further incentivizing pharmacies as well as doctor's offices.
Appreciate you guys coming out to get...
Back at the walk-in clinic, a handful of people were turned away. For those who got their booster shot,
definitely relieved and just happy to, you know, not have the anxiety of having to wait.
They're leaving with peace of mind.
Now, this was one of three community walk-in clinics Michael Guerin was hosting today, each one able to administer 400 doses of the vaccine. But given the high demand, hospital officials are encouraging people to book appointments if possible. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. The province has announced a crackdown on people or companies who try and sell COVID-19 rapid antigen tests online at high prices. The Minister of Government and Consumer Services released a statement which reads in part, "At a time when Ontario families are turning to rapid antigen tests to provide an additional layer of protection against COVID-19, it is deplorable to see bad actors reselling test kits provided free of charge by the provincial government. Anyone caught reselling test kits for an unfair price could face a fine as high as $100,000 and a year in jail. Meanwhile, company directors could face fines of up to $500,000, while corporations could be fined up to $10 million.
Across the province, 86.5% of eligible people aged 5 and older have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, and 81.1% of eligible people are considered fully vaccinated. At this point, that's still regarded as two doses.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 901 new cases in the City of Toronto and 345 in York. There are 280 new cases in Peel, with 245 in Halton and 160 in Durham. Hamilton has 158 new cases, with 64 in Niagara.
Straight ahead, pausing play. The NHL's latest move as more players enter COVID protocol. And the late-breaking developments surrounding the involvement of professionals at the upcoming Olympics. His life changed in an instant. His pain is unimaginable, losing his wife and three daughters in the most tragic of ways.
His heartbreaking story read in court today at the sentencing hearing of the man found guilty in the case. CTV's Austin Delaney reports.
Unable to read his own victim impact statement, Mike Giasullo stood in front of the judge sobbing while his friend read the statement for him. My entire being has been stolen from me. I am not the same person anymore, and I'm not the same son, brother, uncle, or friend. I don't know who I am without them. I was a proud husband and father. Now, I'm just Mike. His 36-year-old wife, Catalina, and their three young girls, Clara, the oldest, Liliana, and the baby Mila, were killed when their SUV was struck by a speeding car in a Brampton intersection in June of 2020. On June 18, my world was thrown upside down and inside out. I wouldn't wish this pain on my worst enemy. The pain of going from having a family filled with love to having emptiness. I think every day about seeing their lifeless bodies for the first time at the funeral home and falling on my knees, screaming and crying for someone to please tell me this is just a nightmare. The crash has left a devastating impact on the whole family, and with tears of sadness cascading down her face, Mike's sister told the court her brother is now a shell of the man he once was. On June 18th, he died inside, and that is the worst death, because you are still here deteriorating while your soul is with the ones you love the most. Jennifer Neville Lake knew Catalina, a teacher, through the school board. I do share the pain and agony of Mr. Giasullo, forced to transition from being a parent to three happy young children to becoming childless in a matter of seconds due to the egregious actions of someone else. 6 years ago, Neville Lake's family was destroyed when her three young children and her father were killed by a drunk driver. Marco Muzzo was sentenced to 10 years. Today was the second day of a sentencing hearing for Brady Robertson. The 21-year-old pleaded guilty to four counts of dangerous driving causing death and was found guilty of driving while impaired by drugs. I truly want to believe that no other parent of young children will be forced to bury all their children and their father the way that I was forced to, Neville Lake told the court. I hope that by sharing a minuscule of the daily consequences, the multiple life sentences for the crimes I did not commit that I am forced to live with does not fall on deaf ears. The last word came from the grieving husband and the father of the young girls, pleading today for justice. Please, Judge, how am I supposed to go through life knowing that I will never hold, kiss, or talk to my four beautiful girls again? My entire family is gone forever. Do not let my family's death and baby's death be in vain. He needs to pay for what he did to me and everyone he took a piece of that day. Robertson's sentencing hearing continues in April. Austin Delaney, CTV News.
And you can read more from today's proceedings in court on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
It's the first day of winter, but does it feel like it? Michelle Jobin's here with a look at the current conditions. Michelle.
Well, Nathan, yes, of course, the winter solstice was today at 10:59 a.m. Eastern, and we've been trending a little bit above seasonal today. I think as we get into the next 24 hours, things will feel a little bit more like winter, and certainly we have the conditions for that north of the city getting in through the evening and overnight. Snow squalls entirely possible getting into tomorrow. We do have system-based snow moving across the GTA from an area of low pressure and winds in behind. That will give us some squalls from Georgian Bay and Lake Huron. Right now, we're sitting at 2 degrees in Milton and in Cobourg, zero in Newmarket, and here in the city of Toronto. The highest we got today was 3 degrees right now at the islands, 2 degrees at Pearson Airport. Overnight tonight, -3, but with gusty winds feeling like -10. I'll let you know what else you could expect coming up. Back to you.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks. If you're a hockey fan, you have nothing to watch for at least the next few days.
The NHL choosing to pause until after Christmas amid a surge in COVID cases among players. And it's not the only big news surrounding the league tonight. CTV's John Musselman is live outside Scotiabank Arena with more. John.
Well, Nathan, you're right. It really is about the Omicron variant spreading across the globe. But there are unconfirmed reports that the NHL and the Players Association are ready to pull the plug on going to Beijing for the Olympics.
The Toronto Maple Leafs and all the teams in the NHL are temporarily suspending all games in the lead-up to Christmas. The pause has been put in place as a precaution against rising COVID cases. Fans we talked to say it's the right thing to do.
I think it's a needed effort to stop the curve of all the players getting sick.
You've seen in the NBA and the NFL, games are being paused, canceled, and pushed back. I think the fact that they have the window where the Olympics should be is a really good area to reschedule some of these games. So they should use the time they have set aside to their advantage and put those games in there.
Yeah, I think they should be pausing right now. It's probably the safe thing to do.
The Maple Leafs posted this on social media today. Four players, the goaltending coach, and a medical staff member have been added to the NHL's COVID-19 protocol. And as the Omicron variant spreads across the globe, there is growing doubt about the NHL's participation in the upcoming Winter Olympics. There are unconfirmed reports that the league and the Players Association have agreed not to send players to Beijing.
You know, if the next one's in 4 years, I'll be 32, and you know, I know I'll be still playing my best hockey, but we'll see. We'll see if it's the same story. And, you know, it was going to be an awesome opportunity to play, but I guess that's just what we have to deal with.
Meanwhile, the NHL schedule is set to resume on December the 27th.
And again, we're still waiting for official word from the Players Association and the league either way, whether or not they're going or staying. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, John. Meanwhile, all of the Toronto Raptors starting five are now in COVID-19 protocols. It was announced around noon that guards Fred VanVleet and Malachi Flynn have been sidelined. Hours later, we learned Scotty Barnes and Precious Achiuwa were also added to Toronto's list. The Raptors now have seven players in league protocols. The others are Pascal Siakam, Gary Trent Jr., and Delano Banton. The team is scheduled to play in Chicago tomorrow night.
What's old is new again at the U.S. border. Even for a short trip, you'll once again need a negative PCR test.
The federal government is reinstating the requirement, but are travelers prepared? CTV's Sean Leithong reports.
COVID numbers are rising and the rules at the border have changed once again. And once again, all travelers must present a negative PCR test result on arrival.
It's really easy if you're willing to pay for it. They're just expensive.
It's kind of strenuous. Because we had to get tested and we had to spend extra, like $225 each. I have four of my family members right here.
Back on November 30th, the federal government began allowing short trips into the U.S. and back without presenting a negative PCR test. And now, just 3 weeks later, travelers must show proof of vaccination and show a negative PCR test result. Beforehand, all information must be uploaded to the ArriveCan app. But with all the changes, some who made a short trip to the U.S. are getting back in and being asked to mail their sample for a test.
Maybe I was lucky. It was very nice. It was very, the people very polite. The people explained everything to me. They say they feel sorry because everything started last night.
According to the Canada Border Services Agency, anyone who's not shown proof is at the discretion of public health.
As we've seen with this new variant, things can change quite frequently and quite rapidly. So I would encourage individuals to do their research prior to crossing, especially over the holidays. We wouldn't want to see anybody have any type of delay that can be avoided.
But as case numbers rise on both sides of the border, some who crossed today said it was a little difficult finding PCR test results within 72 hours.
We can go to these stores like Rite Aid or Walgreens, get a COVID test, but they don't guarantee that we'll get it back in the 72-hour period. So I've had twice where I didn't get it until 5 days, so I had to cancel my trip.
Some on the Canadian side say that the Niagara River is as far as they're willing to go right now.
Because of the new rules and the new variant, I don't think we consider right now unless it's an emergency.
I wouldn't risk getting stuck there at all.
They'd rather wait until they're sure that they'll be able to come home safely. Sean Leithong, CTV News.
Omicron is hitting Quebec hard. The province reported a record number of COVID-19 infections for a third straight day.
The Canadian military may be returning, and Montreal's under a state of emergency again. CTV's Geneviève Beauchemin reports.
Another sign today, Omicron's march has set off alarm bells.
This morning, I signed a declaration declaring a state of emergency in the greater Montreal area.
That allows for extra money for things like shelters, for PPE for city workers. The first COVID state of emergency in Montreal lasted 17 months and was lifted in August, as high vaccination rates, vaccine passports, raised hopes of beating COVID.
I still feel a bit of the symptoms of the COVID, so I'm going to be...
Now the mayor, from isolation, fatigued, her voice scratchy, pleaded for Montrealers to take precautions as she recovers from her own fight with the virus.
This is why I speak from experience and with my heart when I tell Montrealers to be very vigilant, because it is a very, very contagious.
And more evidence of that rapid spread. Long lineups at testing centers continue.
This is the third place I've come to trying to find a test.
Let's go! Everybody out!
To curb the spread, the province has shut down bars, cinemas, schools. Still allowed for now, gatherings of up to 10 people for the holidays. But a tweet from Premier François Legault seems to set the stage for more measures. He says the province is facing tough choices and that he will have an announcement tomorrow. Some Quebecers have already set aside parties, new holiday traditions setting in.
Nothing, just with family. It's kind of quiet. We're all home.
I'm sure it's not easy for everybody. We're all going through rough times.
Quebec has officially asked Ottawa for the help of the armed forces once again this pandemic, this time to help with boosters. Geneviève Beauchemin, CTV News, Montreal.
The Omicron variant is prompting BC to tighten its public health restrictions. Starting tomorrow, bars, nightclubs, gyms, and dance studios must close. All seated events will be reduced to half capacity. Restaurants can stay open, but seating will be limited to 6 people at a table.
Alberta has expanded its booster shot eligibility to anyone 18 and older. Those who received their second dose at least 5 months ago can now book a third shot. The provincial government says vaccines are the best protection against the rapidly spreading Omicron variant.
Starting tomorrow in Nova Scotia, informal gatherings will be limited to 10 people of the same household. Festivals, special events, and sports events will be canceled. The government says the measures will stay in place until at least January 12th.
In New Brunswick, capacity limits will be put in place at businesses and indoor gatherings starting Monday. The province is reporting 156 new cases. Modeling suggests that could swell to 400 cases per day by the end of January if Omicron becomes the dominant variant there.
Back here in the GTA, at least one hospital network is putting some surgeries on hold.
But others are staying the course with the normally reduced holiday schedule.
At Unity Health, they are putting a pause on most outpatient surgical procedures and moving non-essential outpatient visits to virtual appointments as they prepare to deal with a worsening wave of COVID-19. In a memo to staff at St. Michael's, St. Joseph's, and Providence Healthcare, the organization's CEO said, starting December 20th, we've made the difficult decision to put all non-essential ambulatory care and surgical procedures temporarily on hold, with the exception of urgent and emergent cases. We've also moved all non-essential ambulatory visits from in-person in our clinic spaces to virtual where possible. We know that any change we make to our services is distressing and challenging for our staff, patients, and loved ones, and we will ramp up as soon as it's safe to do so. Right now, we need to focus all of our efforts, our people and resources, on caring for our patients and keeping up with this deadly virus.
So right now, we're running surgery at our full standard rate because we can, and we're just keeping a close eye on the situation with the COVID infections.
At University Health Network, the surgeon in chief says they're taking extra steps to protect both patients and staff.
Started screening all patients coming to surgery, making sure that they're negative for COVID for their own safety and the safety of other patients and staff. And we're also having, obviously, to staff the operating rooms. If staff have had exposures, then they may have to isolate, and that would affect our ability to do surgery.
Officials at UHN have announced new guidelines for visitors, including banning visitors for any inpatient spending less than a week in hospital and only allowing patients with special needs to bring an essential care provider to clinic or test appointments. Officials at UHN say the surgical situation is being monitored on a daily basis and changes can be made at any time. They also say fewer non-urgent surgeries are normally scheduled over the holidays, which may help lessen the workload.
Meanwhile, some medical professionals suggest a natural holiday slowdown will give hospital staff much-needed time to rest and prepare for whatever the Omicron variant could bring.
More than 1 million additional doses of COVID-19 vaccine for children are now in Canada. The federal government revealed today the Pfizer shipment arrived yesterday. Ottawa says that means kids 5 to 11 will be able to get their second dose as soon as they're eligible. The government says it's working to distribute the shots to the provinces and territories as quickly as possible. Health Canada approved the pediatric vaccine in November.
Canada's foreign affairs minister is awaiting confirmation she has COVID-19. Melanie Joly took a rapid test yesterday and it was positive. She's now waiting on the result of a PCR test. The 42-year-old would be one of the most prominent Canadian politicians to have the virus. The senior minister is now working in isolation.
Omicron is the dominant variant in the United States, and today Joe Biden laid out his plan to try to slow its spread.
I've directed FEMA to activate the National Response Center and begin deploying teams now to provide additional hospital beds. We'll begin to construct emergency capacities near hospitals, in parking garages, and nearby buildings to be ready if needed. And the federal government is paying for all of this, period, all of it.
The U.S. president says the government will buy 500 million rapid tests. They'll be distributed by mail to Americans for free starting in January. Biden also urged people to get vaccinated, calling it their patriotic duty.
In New York, the jury deliberating at Ghislaine Maxwell's trial has asked to review the testimony of three of four women who said she aided financier Jeffrey Epstein in the sexual abuse they experienced. Jurors are deciding whether Maxwell assisted her former boyfriend in the sexual abuse of teenage girls from 1994 to 2004. Prosecutors say she recruited and groomed the girls, while Maxwell's lawyers say the government is using her as a scapegoat. Epstein killed himself in 2019 as he awaited his own sex trafficking trial. The fallout continues for actor Chris Noth.
The star of one popular series has been dropped from another. CTV's Andrea Case joins us now with the details. Andrea.
Fel and Nathan, good evening. Yes, absolutely. Well, the allegations against Chris Noth have yet to be proven in court, but the productions he is involved with in and those associated with him are distancing themselves from him. Less than a week after sexual assault and sexual harassment accusations were leveled against Chris Noth, news has emerged the actor has been released effective immediately from his role on the CBS TV drama The Equalizer, starring Queen Latifah. Recently, Noth was enjoying the success of the sequel to the hit show Sex and the City called And Just Like That, and the Peloton ad which sprang out of a memorable scene. In addition to the now three women who have come forward with the allegations, court papers filed in 1995 by his ex-girlfriend, model Beverly Johnson, citing physical abuse, threats, and filed for and granted a restraining order against him have been unearthed. As for his Sex and the City co-stars, Kristen Davis, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Cynthia Nixon, they say they are deeply saddened by the allegations and have released a statement saying they stand with the women. We support the women who have come forward and shared their painful experiences. We know it must be a very difficult thing to do, and we commend them for it. As for Noth, now 67, he has categorically denied the allegations against him. So Chris Noth has also been dropped by his talent agency, A3 Artists Agency, after just signing with them recently. He got married in 2012, and one of his allegations is said to have happened, allegedly, in 2015. Reporting live, I'm Andrea Case. Michelle, I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Andrea. Well, it's one of the quicker ways to get packages delivered this time of year. A cargo rocket on its way to the ISS with a special Christmas delivery. Still ahead, why the launch is a gift in itself for SpaceX.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, if you're planning to travel during the holidays, it could be difficult due to the pandemic. A Toronto man just returned from an international trip and was shocked when his wheelchair ended up in Germany and was also damaged. I'll have my reports just ahead.
With the beginning of winter and Christmas just at the end of the week, snow is on many people's minds, as is the concept of a white Christmas. So just to remind you, the definition of a white Christmas as per Environment Canada is 2 centimeters on the snow on the ground, 7 a.m. on Christmas morning. And a perfect Christmas would be that plus some snow falling on Christmas Day. We do have some snow on the way to talk about in many parts of the region, so we'll cover that coming up in your 7-day forecast. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
We'll be right back. Many people are trying to decide now if they should go ahead with their flights for the Christmas holidays or cancel them to stay close to home.
Flying has become a lot more complicated during the pandemic, and a passenger says his wheelchair just flat out went missing on a flight back to Toronto. Pat Foran has this story. Pat.
Well, Nathan and Michelle, the Toronto man says he was returning from Greece after undergoing months of therapy. He thought his wheelchair was at the front of the airplane, but for some reason, it ended up in Germany and was damaged along the way. When an Air Canada flight touched down with passengers from Greece 2 weeks ago, Anthony Tompros was pleased to be back home. He spent 4 months undergoing therapy in the salt waters and sunshine of the Greek islands to improve his health. Tompros, who asked for privacy reasons not to show his face, said he became concerned when his wheelchair was missing.
I waited for about half hour, and they said, your wheelchair's not here. Either we'll ship it tonight or tomorrow.
Tompros says his custom-made wheelchair had gone missing before on flights and says if lost, it would take him 8 months to get a new one.
I need my chair. It's my legs, like I was trapped, stuck on the bed. I just wanted my chair back so I could sit in it and move around.
On a connecting flight from Greece, the wheelchair ended up on an airplane that took it to Frankfurt, Germany. It was located there and sent back to Toronto 5 days later, but it had been damaged.
They then delivered it, and it came damaged. My backrest is broken completely. The seat was missing. The cushion part and the front wheel was broke, is also damaged.
Tompros was told to file a claim, but says he needs the chair repaired right away.
Well, I'd like my chair to be fixed immediately, for sure. That'd start from there.
CTV News reached out to Air Canada, which apologized for the situation. A spokesperson said the customer was traveling on a connection flight. The chair misconnected, and it took additional time as it had to be sent on another flight to Toronto. It is a regrettable situation, and we are dealing with the customer directly, including ensuring the proper repair of his mobility device. Tompros called the situation frustrating. Air Canada says it knows how vital mobility devices are and does its utmost to avoid damage from happening to them. And unfortunately, wheelchairs are often damaged during flights. In the U.S., an air travel report found that 29 wheelchairs are lost or damaged by airlines every day. The group says about 15,000 have been damaged over the past 3 years. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Welcome to winter, although it does feel like it arrived a while back.
Right, although today it's a bit above seasonal.
A little bit today. You know, we should be hitting around 1 degree at this time of the year, Nathan and Michelle. We hit 3 degrees at the island. We've been flirting back and forth between 1 and 2 degrees at Pearson Airport. Things are going to feel a little bit cooler as we get into the next 24 hours. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. So while we talk about temperatures, let's look at what's happening right now throughout the region. And may I point out that if anyone is not really happy with our slightly above seasonal weather, it is bitterly cold in Western Canada and has been back and forth over the last little while and will be continuing through the rest of the week. So some food for thought there. We are sitting at 2 degrees in Pearson Airport, feeling like -2, -5 in Ottawa, feeling like -11, and 0 feeling like -3 in Windsor. Now, one of the factors in our weather through the overnight period that's going to change the feel and also the conditions over the next 24 hours are the winds. They're going to be out of the west, gusting 30 to 60 kilometers an hour, especially to the northwest of the city. It's going to amplify the wind chill that we feel over the next little while, and it's also going to help to give us more snowfall. So as we get into tomorrow, we have some squalls to talk about, but we're looking at a high of 1 degree in the city of Toronto. Normal would be 1 degree, but you're going to want to take off a bit of that in terms of wind chill as well. We're already seeing some snowfall that's system-based with a Clipper system that's passing across the upper Great Lakes, so Georgian Bay, extending in towards the Nickel Belt. But we also have snow squalls to talk about for tomorrow as winds wrap around in behind this system. So there's a broader special weather statement for northeastern Ontario and also into the Nickel Belt extending down towards the Bancroft region saying, okay, 5 to 10 or 10 to 15 further to the north with this system, a snowfall warning closer to Sault Ste. Marie. But As we get into tomorrow for Grey Bruce, for Dufferin, Innisfil, and for the Waterloo region, we have a snow squall watch in effect. And this is somewhere in the range of 10 to 15 possible as we get into tomorrow as the winds wrap around and enhance snowfall off of the upper Great Lakes. So Lake Huron, Georgian Bay specifically. As this low continues to move through, we await the arrival of the next one, which will bring us some activity into Thursday. So putting this in motion, this is a look at how things are at midnight. Notice in the city of Toronto, we have a little bit of green here on the radar, also a little bit further to the north. And this is going to be a brief period of showers before we cool down more and we all transition into flurries. So flurries here in the GTA, some snow squalls continuing throughout the day tomorrow. We'll see that activity here. And then what we await is the arrival, as I mentioned, of the next system, bringing us a couple of centimeters into Thursday. So looking better for White Christmas, except we have those flurries tomorrow with one, flurries Thursday with light snow, chance of some showers mixing in Friday, and then on to Saturday as well, so that might impact what we already have on the ground. Stay with us. We have a lot more to talk about in terms of your forecast details and, of course, the day's news coming up after the break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Canada's Maggie McNeil set a world record at the World Championships in Abu Dhabi.
Now they're coming through Marsh in lane number five. Let's have a look at it. Well, world record, McNeil. McNeil winning it in a world record time.
The 21-year-old who grew up in London, Ontario, proved she is elite in more than just the butterfly. She swam the 50-meter backstroke in 25.27 seconds, and that shaved 0.3 seconds off the previous record. Fellow Canadian Kylie Mass took silver. McNeil won gold in the 100-meter butterfly at last summer's Tokyo Olympics.
The holiday season is usually a busy time on Broadway, but the Omicron variant is forcing the curtain to come down on more shows. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is one of several shows that have announced multi-day cancellations. Others include Aladdin, Hamilton, and MJ the Musical. Like so many people, producers and performers are expressing concern about the uncertainty that lies ahead this winter.
Meanwhile, the fate of the Times Square New Year's Eve party remains uncertain because of COVID-19. But that hasn't put a damper on the preparations.
Happy New Year! Yay!
The 7-foot-tall numerals have arrived following a cross-country trip. They'll complete the sign that will light up as the clock strikes midnight on December 31st. We'll hear by Christmas Day whether the celebrations will go ahead.
And here at home, we're expecting word this week on what happens with Toronto's New Year's Eve event. Mayor John Tory says he may know by tomorrow.
We have asked Dr. Davila for her advice on that. As people might know, we had planned a kind of dispersed fireworks event and deliberately done it that way in Etobicoke, the central waterfront, and out in Scarborough so that, we would not attract one large crowd in any one place, and that meant we were not going to do something traditional at Nathan Phillips Square. I'm awaiting Dr. Davila's advice, and we're meeting every morning with her and with the other members of our emergency management team for the pandemic, and I would expect we'll have some news on New Year's Eve in the next day or so.
The mayor's comments made as he received his booster shot this morning.
We have a sneak peek at something Harry Potter fans have been waiting a long time for. A teaser trailer has been released for the 20th anniversary reunion.
It's a strong bond that will always have. We're family, and we will always be part of each other's life.
Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and others have traveled back to Hogwarts. They're celebrating the release of the franchise's first film in November 2001. The retrospective begins streaming on Crave at midnight New Year's Day. Crave and CTV are both divisions of Bell Media.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
After the break, a staggering divorce settlement. What the UK's High Court has ordered the ruler of Dubai pay his ex-wife.
evidence indicates that Omicron is 4 to 8 times more transmissible than the Delta variant. And as of last week, Omicron has become the dominant strain in Ontario.
Updating our top stories, Ontario's top doctor says the province is considering limits on PCR testing in order to ensure tests will be available for high-risk settings like hospitals and long-term care homes.
If you haven't taken any shots, get your first, get your second, or get your booster. I want to thank everyone across Ontario who went and got their boosters.
The premier got his booster shot today, but many are still struggling to find appointments. Toronto added roughly 6,600 appointments over the holidays, but nearly all were booked in the first few hours.
Yeah, it was going to be an awesome opportunity to play, but I guess that's just what we have to deal with.
It appears NHL players will not be heading to the Winter Olympics. The Canadian Press reporting the league has withdrawn from the games due to ongoing COVID-19 outbreaks, which have forced a league-wide pause, which begins tomorrow.
And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
In business, retail sales surged in Canada through the fall. Greg Bunnell from BNN Bloomberg has the details.
It appears the Canadian economy was holding up pretty well before the challenges of Omicron emerged. New numbers from StatsCan show the Canadian consumer has been more than willing to spend. Retail sales jumped 1.6% in October, and the early read on November suggests another gain of more than 1%. New car sales were a bright spot as the effects of the microchip shortage began to ease. Well, economists at CIBC say it appears the economy had more momentum than previously thought. That said, renewed restrictions because of Omicron could challenge the pace of the recovery this winter. Well, if you're a savvy investor, you're no doubt looking for ideas this tax loss selling season. Selling underperforming investments for a loss allows investors to offset taxes on their capital gains. In the aftermath of that selling, well, there is opportunity. In a note to clients, CIBC recommends checking out Barrick Gold, Wheaton Precious Metals, cheesemaker Saputo, and cannabis grower Canopy Growth. A full list of CIBC's recommendations can be found at bnmbloomberg.ca. The Croods are getting a new landlord. The real estate division of Brookfield is buying the DreamWorks Animation Campus in Glendale, California. And the price tag is just over $326 million U.S. Now, the campus is DreamWorks headquarters, and it houses its animation facilities and artists. DreamWorks is the company behind The Croods, Kung Fu Panda, and the Boss Baby movies. Brookfield says it's excited to enter the studio and creative real estate sector. The Canadian dollar was up 14 basis points to 77.43 U.S. American benchmark oil gained $2.51 a barrel to close at 71.12. Alberta's heavy crude, Western and Canadian Select, was up $2.40, settling at 56.39 U.S. And the TSX Composite Index gained 386 points to close at 20,924, with financials and tech stocks leading the way higher. That's the latest from BNN Bloomberg. I'm Greg Bunnell.
The federal government is detailing what single-use plastic items it plans to ban nationwide next year. And there are several of them. Plastic stir sticks, cutlery, bags, styrofoam takeout containers, and six-pack rings will be eliminated entirely. Some plastic straws will be allowed to accommodate people with disabilities and others who need them for medical reasons. The pandemic pushed back plans to eliminate some of the plastics this year. The ban is now expected to take effect by the end of 2022.
The world's very first text sold for a hefty price at auction. The first text message was sent in 1992. It was put up for auction by the British telecom company Vodafone and sold today for more than $120,000 in Paris. The text with a message of Merry Christmas was transformed and packaged in a digital frame.
It is one of the most expensive divorce settlements in British history. A court in the UK has ordered the ruler of Dubai to pay his ex-wife and their children $733 million US. The child custody case involved Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum's sixth wife, Princess Haya bint Al Hussein. She fled to Britain in 2019 and sought custody of her two children, saying she was terrified of her husband.
After the break, Christmas in space. Santa has not forgotten the astronauts. the special delivery on its way to the ISS.
And a reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight, and you can also listen to the show live on News Talk 1010.
We're not sure if Santa will be stopping at the International Space Station, but the 7 astronauts will still be well taken care of this year.
Ignition.
A SpaceX rocket blasted off from the Kennedy Space Center this morning. On board, more than 2,900 kilograms of Christmas gifts and supplies. That includes smoked fish and turkey, green beans, and fruitcake. Several minutes after liftoff, the first stage booster landed upright on an ocean platform. It was the 100th successful rocket landing by SpaceX.
Remembering the true meaning of Christmas in Peru, a collector in Lima is showing off the largest compilation of nativity scenes in the country. She's been collecting them for more than 30 years. She has adorned parts of her home with about 340 different scenes. Before the pandemic, she had 5,000 visitors, but only limited visits are allowed now.
Hey, Michelle, how are things looking tonight?
Well, we are looking at a chance of flurries here in the city of Toronto. A brief period of rain transitioning to wet flurries. North of the city, we have a concern of not only system-based snow, but snow squalls during the day tomorrow. And we'll see flurries during the day. 1 degree will be our high tomorrow, -7. And then more light snow as we get into Thursday. Enough that should stay on the ground by the time we get to the end of the week. Back to you, Nate.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join Andrea Case later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, you can watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.